Still to Come by Hildegard, Frank Sinatra, Tommy Dorsey, Dick Haynes, the five Marx Brothers, of which there are only three, at least when we joined them, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and many more on our New Year's Eve show. This is KSFO Radio in San Francisco at 5:45.
It's 5:45, time for the Lon Simmons Sports Roundup, brought to you by Chevrolet, in behalf of your Chevrolet dealer. Chevrolet is on the move with exciting new cars for 1970. 1969 comes to an end tonight, a year of frustration for Bay Area sports, near misses by the Giants and the Raiders and Stanford, deep disappointment for the 49ers and the Seals and Warriors. It was a year of change, divisional play in baseball, a playoff system in football, a new president of the National Baseball League taken from the ranks of the Giants, and a change from real to the unreal at Candlestick with AstroTurf. It was a year that brought sorrow with the deaths of Lefty O'Doul and Rocky Marciano. It was also a year that brought its share of thrills on the field, and we'll recall some of those highlights of the year 1969 in just a moment. Well, the 1970 Chevy van is the low-priced popular van. That alone makes it a great deal. But the 1970 Chevy van has more going for it than low price, like more usable space, more dependability, economy, flexibility, more of what you buy a van for. The 1970 Chevy van has a 250 cubic inch six standard and a standard V8 that turns out 200 horsepower, and you've got four transmissions to choose from. The 1970 Chevy van travels in the best circles, small ones. It uses less room to turn. Low price, maneuverability, high performance. That's the 1970 Chevy van. Maybe you should see the man with the van, your Chevrolet dealer. Well, Willie Mays reached some new personal marks as he became the first man in history to hit as many as 300 home runs and steal as many as 300 bases.
Mays goes. The pitch low and outside, the throw to second base, and Mays is in there. He's done it. He has stolen the 300th base of his career, and they're going to have a little ceremony. Here comes the groundkeeper from the right field corner, bringing a base to Willie Mays. Mays has become the first player in the history of baseball to have 300 stolen bases and 300 or more home runs.
Well, while the Giants fell short of winning their division, it was a series of injuries that figured prominently. Jack Hyatt was out a good share of the season. He was around to hit a pair of homers in this one.
2-1 count to Hyatt.
Swung on and hit deep, way out into right center field. You can tell it was Hyatt.
Driven in seven runs in a ballgame.
Well, Jack Hyatt did it. Bob Burda was another of the Giants who hit in timely spots. Here is Burda playing long ball.
Here's the 2-2 pitch.
Loafer down the right field line. It's a fair ball. That will win it. Mason scores. 20 scores, and Burda's been the hero today. He looped it just on the right field foul line. Two runs come in, and the Giants have won it. And Berta has driven in four runs here. Finally wins it. In the bottom of the 10th inning.
And Hal Lanier played glove like this all year.
So a three-base error puts McCormick in extreme difficulty. The Lou is at third with nobody out. 1-1 ball game here in the sixth, and the Giants will play the infield end. Jim Wynn, the center fielder, called out on strikes in the first inning, was safe on an error by Gutierrez in the fourth. McCormick of a full windup. Line drive, backhanded by Lanier. What a stop. Go to first, he got him. A line shot on one hop. Lanier dove for the ball, backhanded it, scrambled up through to first. Wynn retired for out number one.
Well, the big man, Willie McCovey, named the most valuable player in the league, the home run and RBI king for the second year in a row.
Jack Fisher up to his neck in trouble to face Willie McCovey. Winds and throws to the plate. McCovey swings, sends one, and you can tell it, bye-bye, baby. A grand slam for Willie McCovey up into the right field bleachers. And it's his ninth grand slam, and Willie McCovey now... He is the all-time giant in Grand Slam home run.
Well, that was almost the baseball story. A big shot was hit by Mays. We'll listen to that later. But let's turn to football and heartbreak for Stanford on this play.
The clock has stopped with 5 seconds, and the Trojans will get a shot at a field goal. And this will be it. Here it is. The outcome of this ball game. In the last 5 seconds, Ayala is going to attempt the conversion. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. The kick is on its way. It is on its way. And it is. It is good. It is good. And the Trojans have won it. Ron Ayala has just kicked the field goal with the clock showing 1 second. Ayala kicks a field goal, and the Trojans have beaten Stanford by the final score of 26-24. The gun ending the game with the Trojans in a tremendous comeback to beat Stanford in as great a football game as this Los Angeles Coliseum has ever seen.
And that was Don Klein describing. For the 49ers, it was disappointment early in the year. There were individual efforts that almost made it successful. Here's one against the Rams.
Willard in the back behind Brody with McNeil flanked to the near side and Washington split right.
Sonny.
John is back to pass again. He has time. He steps up. He throws long. McNeil is out there. He makes the catch. Touchdown, 49ers. McNeil made a super catch. McNeil just made a super catch as he battled Ron Smith. The ball popped up in the air. He turned around, grabbed it, and stepped into the end zone.
Johnny White made one of the season's spectacular runs as the 49ers beat Baltimore after losing 13 in a row to the Colts.
Third down and six. United straight back to pass. Has time. He's hit as he throws this time. Orr is open. It's intercepted by White. Down the far sideline, the 50, the 40, the 35, the 30, the 25, the 20, the 15, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, 49ers, as Johnny White runs it back for the score. The 49er bench comes alive as that's about a 65-yard return by White. Right down the sidelines, he went the far sidelines as he picked up that pass, and White runs it in for the score.
The Dallas Cowboys went all the way to the Eastern Division title, but got no better than a tie with the 49ers, partly due to this catch.
So it's Tucker and Willard this time behind Brody. Washington splits to the far side, Witcher flanks the near side, Brody back to pass. He throws out here, and it is a great catch for the touchdown. Ken Willard with a super catch for the touchdown, and Willard is shaken up. Willard between two men making a great catch and is shaken up, helped to his feet, and he's all right. What a catch Willard made.
Rookie Jimmy Thomas gave promise for the future with runs like this.
Tucker. And they're replacing Cunningham. Now slots to the left. Washington wide to the left. And Witcher flanked to the near side. A draw to Thomas. Finds the hole. Goes to the 30. The 35. A blocker in front of him. To the 50. To the 40. Out front. He'll go all the way for a touchdown on the draw. Jimmy Thomas breaks one for the 49ers. Oh, he's got some speed, that fella. Dick Witcher was out in front of him to help with a block. He didn't knock the man down, but he bothered him enough that when Thomas went by him, he was going by so fast it spun the defensive man's helmet around. He's got speed.
And Jim Johnson, voted the Len Ashmont Award by his teammates, saved the game the same day.
Jackson out to the far side. Hughes to the near side. Back to pass goes Myra. Straight back he goes. Throws for
Johnson. Intercept. Jim Johnson intercepts that ball intended for Jackson. And Jim Johnson played him perfectly. That tell you what happened there. They've been throwing in front of Johnson all day long on the sidelines. That time they tried to beat him for the first time today, faking to the outside and then running a streak. And Johnson stayed right with Jackson and intercepted the ball.
Well, there were individuals who spoke out during the year. Debbie Myers swam her way to a record number of gold medals at the Olympic Games and then won the Sullivan Award.
It's something, it's really great, but I'm sure I'm not going to be able to realize it until after I quit swimming and I look back on what I've done.
And Joe Namath became the biggest man in pro football after the Jets beat the Colts in the Super Bowl.
I think the AFL has strived more these last 4 years or so defensively to try and sophisticate their defenses and have done so.
Mm-hmm.
With the NFL just really having strived for that kind of improvement of perfection because they didn't have the pressure on them. They were supposed to be the best. So the pressure was on the AFL, and I think they worked a little harder. We worked a little harder.
And we'll have more of the voices that made the news in 1969. Over the years, station wagon buyers have become a very demanding and very perceptive lot. It wasn't enough that they had 2- and 3-seat models to choose from, lots of room, looks, and a ride like a car. No, they wanted a way to get into their wagon through the tailgate without crawling. So, we now have the walk-in wagon. Rather, Chevrolet has them. Just swing open the gate, put your foot in the recessed bumper step, then step in standing straight up. No pretzel act, no head banging. Chevrolet walk-in wagon for the very perceptive, very demanding wagon buyer with plenty of room, look, and a smooth ride. And, of course, the stand straight up, step right in, walk-in feature. Only 6 wagons in Chevrolet's field have it. All Chevrolet. The walk-in wagon at your Chevrolet dealers. Walk in soon and find out why putting you first keeps us first. Well, there were other individuals who made news in 1969. George Archer from Gilroy was one. He went on to win the Masters, and he talked about winning the Crosby.
I know better than trying to play cautious out there. I was just trying to grind out the pars, and I thought it was between Dale and I. When I went through 9, I thought Howie was 3, and John was 2, and then when I got onto the 16th green, they told me that Howie just birdied, and we were both 5. And then I two-putted there, made a big putt from about 2.5 feet going down a hill, and then just after I walked off that tee, they told me that Howie bogeyed 17, and then I parred the last 2 holes and was very fortunate to win.
Lou Alcindor became a millionaire with a contract from the NBA. He explained his reasons for signing with the established league.
Well, I would say that my offer from the NBA was more stable and more lucrative, you know, from all aspects. And that's why I accepted it.
And the end of an era. Don Drysdale calls it quits.
I'm really not too sure what I'm going to do right now. I've been kind of concentrating all year on my arm and thinking about how I can get it back into shape to be able to pitch.
And the start of a new era. Manager Gil Hodges talks about the feelings of winning a World Series.
I couldn't wait for it to happen. And actually, when it first went off of Mr. Johnson's bat, I was a little concerned about it. And then I saw Cleon Jones, who has been a great individual for us all year, a great player. He's not even going back too far to the wall, and he's going to catch it. I just said, thank God it's over.
Jerry Lucas moved to the West and talked about wanting to play for the Warriors.
Number one, I love San Francisco. I think it's a great town. Number two, one of the real big reasons is Franklin Muley. I think Franklin Muley's a great man. He's good to his players. I've heard nothing but good things about him, and I know him personally and was very pleased with him. And another reason was I felt I could fill a need here. Since LaRusso retired and they didn't get Barry back, I would hope that I might be able to come in and help the team. And
the National League's new president, Chub Feeney, spoke about his appointment.
Naturally, it's quite an honor, and I appreciate the confidence that the league has shown in me, and I hope that it'll be warranted. However, there's certainly a lot of mixed emotions. The Giants have been really one of the loves of my life, and I'll miss being with them. However, that blow is softened by the fact that the office will be in San Francisco.
And finally, the shot that made history. Willie Mays was the man who did it.
Mays, the batter, was not at first. Here's the pitch to Willie.
Swung on, hit deep to left. That one is way back, way back, way back. Tell it goodbye, number 600 for Willie Mays and the bye-bye Baby Bonanza. And the Giants come to home plate to greet him. Number 600 for Mays. He hit it over the 370-foot mark. A standing ovation here in San Diego for Willie. He's mobbed at home plate.
And those were the highlights of 1969. 1970 may provide even more. A championship or two would make it a happy new year. But regardless, we at KSFO Sports would like to wish you a very happy new year. The Lon Simmons Sports Roundup has been brought to you by Chevrolet. On the move with the Chevrolet 70s at your Chevrolet dealers. Listen every night at 5:45 for the latest news in sports. Thank you.
This is What's New, KSFO News, up to this very moment. Father Time will make his annual appearance to the Bay Area just 6 hours from now to ring in 1970. Officials in San Francisco, Oakland, and other local cities are wishing Happy New Year to their constituents, and a spokesman for the State Department of Agriculture says that mixing equal parts of honey and grapefruit juice will help prevent a hangover tomorrow. The California Highway Patrol reports that traffic is still heavy on the downtown Central Freeway system, the James Lick and the Bayshore in the vicinity of the airport. Bay Bridge eastbound heavy but rolling with no accidents or stalls. The Golden Gate Bridge traffic is heavy northbound, but there are no problems. Eastbound freeways reported normally heavy for a commute hour. In the city, an accident at Geary and Van Ness and a stoplight is out of order at Sacramento and Kearney. Governor Reagan is ordering the extradition to Connecticut of Black Panther Bobby Seale on a murder warrant. Seale's attorney says he'll appeal the decision to the court. The Small Business Administration is designating Marin County a disaster area. The designation results from flooding caused by heavy rains a couple of weeks ago. Owners of homes, businesses, and churches may apply for a rebuilding loan at 3% interest. Former San Francisco Mayor George Christopher says he's selling his dairy operation in order to be free to rest, travel, and retire. Christopher says he expects to sell his multi-million dollar Christopher Dairy Farms early next week. An unsuccessful candidate for lieutenant governor in 1962, Christopher says his future plans do not include any political or diplomatic posts. Mayor Joseph Alioto says striking unions at Santa Anita Racetrack and at Bay Meadows have accepted his offer to act as a mediator. But William Ward, the president of the Federation of California Racing Associations, indicates that management will turn down the offer. New York City is preparing to curb incoming travel if a threatened New Year's Day transit strike creates traffic chaos similar to that in 1966. Chances of averting a strike by 5 a.m. tomorrow seem dim in spite of a temporary state Supreme Court injunction. The president of Union Oil Company, Fred Hartley, says plans are being made to erect a third drilling platform at a site in the Santa Barbara Channel near where a blowout last January caused untold damage. Herb Kennedy reporting, KSFO News is everywhere. And now back to Jack Carney. Well, we're embarking on the last two of our 8 hours allotted today for the New Year's Eve show, and I'm Jack Carney, and the past, or rather the last 4 hours of our show are presented by Hibernia Bank. For 364 days this year, Hibernia has been telling you about low-interest auto loans and no-charge checking accounts and savings plans and many other services that contribute to Hibernia's unique personal approach to banking. But this evening, in the spirit of the season, the Hibernia people are giving up their usual commercial message. All they want me to say is best wishes for a very happy and a prosperous new year from Hibernia Bank. And just remember, when the other bank forgets your name, remember ours. Hibernia Bank. Let's continue now with the New Year's Eve show. 1939 the year. This is the voice of Hildegard.
Would you like to hear the story of a girl that many soldiers know? It's a tale of love and all its glory. They tell her the light are soft and low. Underneath the lamppost by the barricade, standing all alone, every night you see her wait. She waits for the boy who marched away, and though he's gone, she hears him say, oh, promise you'll be true. Fare thee well, Lily Marley, till I return to you. Unsere beiden Schatten sahen wie eine aus. Dass wir so lieb uns hatten, sah man gleich darauf. Und alle Leute sollen es sehen, wenn wir bei der Laterne stehen, wie einst
Lele Male, die ein Lele Male.
Hildegard, 1937, when a German song could still be a hit in the United States. But war clouds were gathering over Europe, as we all remember too well, I think. In 1936, the King of England, George V, died.
On the coffin lies the crown, the orb, the scepter, and the insignia of the Order of the Garter. As it goes by, the King's Guard lure the colors and present arms. Behind walks King Edward VIII.
King Edward VIII, born 1894, succeeds his father to the throne of England on January 20th, 1936. However, on December the 10th of the same year, he abdicates the throne for the woman he loves.
At long last, I am able to say a few words of my own. I have never wanted to withhold anything. But until now, it has not been constitutionally possible for me to speak. But you must believe me when I tell you that I have found it impossible to carry the heavy burden of responsibility and to discharge my duties as king as I would wish to do, without the help and support of the woman I love. And now we all have a new king. I wish him and you, his people, happiness and prosperity with all my heart. God bless you all. God save the king.
Edward VIII abdicates the throne for the woman he loves. The following year, his brother is crowned George VI of England.
Prince Albert Frederick Arthur George is now become our only lawful and rightful liege lord, George the Sixth, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, Ireland, and the British dominions beyond the sea, King.
In 1937, George VI is crowned King of England.